Welcome to the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Boyd Waters. This past week has been wild. Not only do we have 3 weeks left of school, and I've had to reprioritize a few things based on projects that I didn't anticipate earlier in the year, but my main Facebook account got hacked, which kind of changed everything. If you're a friend and haven't seen me on Facebook since April 9th, that's why. Right now, I'm waiting to find out what Facebook is going to do with my account before determining my next steps. In the meantime, I'd love for you to follow me on social media at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/Instagram or rethinkyourlifestyle.com/Twitter. Thankfully, I built my business on my own website with my own blog and my own email list. The loss of my social media network has not impacted my business. This is a strategy that I've both used and promoted for the past decade, as has my friend Patricia Korchinski. You may remember her from our local and YouTube marketing episodes, and she is back to talk to you about creating a business plan. I mention this now because making a plan is one of the first steps towards building a successful, sustainable business, and you should include building your own website and email list in that plan. But we'll talk more about that after these messages.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Hackers broke into my Facebook account and got both it and my main Instagram accounts disabled. But this has not impacted my business income at all. How? If you're running your business entirely on Facebook, Instagram, Etsy, Amazon, or any other third-party site, your business is vulnerable. Head over to rethinkyourlifestyle.com/protectyourbusiness to learn how to keep your business up and running even when your social media is down. That's rethinkyourlifestyle.com/protectyourbusiness. Hey teachers, are you looking forward to brightening the day of everyone you meet? Make it easy with our The World is a Better Place with You in It hoodies and our When You Accept Yourself, You Find Your Confidence t-shirts. And then you can keep yourself motivated with our water bottles and Eat, Sleep, Rethink Your Lifestyle mouse pads. Check out our new products at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/merch. Hi, welcome back to the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, and I'm your host, Michelle Boyd Waters, and I have the honor of interviewing Patricia Korchinski again. I'm so glad to have you here.
I am so thrilled to be here back again. It's always a good time and always educational when we're together.
Absolutely. For those of us or those of our listeners who are new to the podcast, if you could tell us about yourself and your connection to teaching and kind of how you and I have known each other forever, I think.
It definitely feels like forever. I believe it's been about 20 years. I am presently 25 years into my small business journey. Began 25 years ago this coming July as a daycare provider. So that was my first delve into teaching into early childhood, was in a home environment. Eventually, I advanced and worked at a daycare, a preschool. I am presently an educational assistant in a elementary school locally, and I have my business. I say that I work 60 hours a week. I work a 30-30 plan, 30 hours a week at the school and 30 hours a week pursuing being a certified small business coach and doing the workshops and trainings and hosting my own YouTube channel via Paige the Puppet.
All right, awesome. It sounds like you keep yourself very busy.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds a lot busier than it is because I am sort of a princess. But when it comes to reality, whether you are a teacher or an entrepreneur, you put in a lot more hours than go on a timesheet.
Absolutely. The important thing is, especially in business, that you stay focused. And that is why we are going to talk about business plans today.
And I love this topic because it's one that is so feared amongst small business owners, whether they've been in business for a nanosecond or 20 years. There are plenty of businesses that go around without one. But the fact is that businesses that have a business plan have been proven to last longer and make more than businesses that don't.
Absolutely. So for those of our listeners who are new to business and don't really have any experience, can you tell us what a business plan is?
Sure. It is your basic who, what, when, where, why of your business. It is much like a lesson plan, what you intend to do and how you intend to do it. It really isn't much more than that. Now, there is a difference between what you would submit to a bank, but for most teachers that are transitioning, they aren't necessarily looking into getting a retail brick and mortar, starting a restaurant, or going somewhere where they're going to need more money than what they've got in their bank account or on their credit cards. And so they might not need a 25-page standard business plan. You still need it.
So it's kind of like the difference between the business plan, or not the business plan, but the lesson plan that you turn in to your college professor for your capstone project and the lesson plan that you create that you use right there in your classroom.
Absolutely. It's the theory versus what actually happens in business. And, you know, if you've been around enough and you've heard enough success stories, you know that many businesses began with a plan on a napkin, or, you know, they were mapped out in a very casual brainstorming session. So you don't need to have a very formal business plan to get started.
Absolutely. So we kind of talked a little bit about why a business plan is important, because, you know, it helps you be more successful. So it kind of sounds like having a lesson plan as well. You don't want to walk into the day not really knowing where you're going to go. You need to know where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. But like with lesson plans, it's not set in stone. When you realize something's not working, you can tweak it and change things. Is that right?
Absolutely. And that is one of the biggest advantages small businesses have over large businesses. In order to change things in a large business, you've got to go through a lot of muckety muck to get things changed. Whereas in your small business, you can change on a dime and respond to the market as it's happening, which is something you really can't do in a larger business.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that kind of a business plan that a brand new entrepreneur needs just to get started is different from that traditional business plan. So it sounds like there's at least two different kinds of business plans.
There's actually a gazillion types of business plan, from the napkin to the traditional business plan. But it's always, as within all writing, it's about who the audience is. Now, if you are trying to go to a bank and get funding, you'll need a business plan that is formal, that they're used to looking at, that meets their needs and the questions that they're going to ask. However, if you are just starting up, you are just, you know, going to be a sole entrepreneur, you're not going to have employees or consultants working with you, you can use a one-page business plan. Now, actually, you can use a one-page business plan no matter what type of business you're in. It is a way to clarify what you're doing, and it isn't actually something that I've invented or anything like that. It is based on the Lean business model, and it is something that you can easily look up online and start working on right away. It doesn't have to be complicated to be something that you can follow and take with you.
What do I need to make sure I include in that one-page business plan?
Honestly, if you look up the Lean Canvas, you'll find everything on that one page. And it includes the problem, which covers the problem you're solving. What does your product or service solve in the marketplace? What problem is it solving? Now, that's very clue number one. If your product, and you can't describe how your product or service is filling a need and solving a problem, that's your first issue right there. You go into what solution you provide, you go into your key metrics. How are you going to know what you're doing is working? It might be that you are keeping track of your Instagram likes or your YouTube or, you know, how many customers walk in the door. Your key metrics are what you're going to look at to judge where you are going in business.
And I'd also throw in there that, you know, you talked about Instagram likes, and while that's great, one of the conversations I've had recently is that oftentimes those Instagram likes don't translate to actual sales. And so that would be a really important metric, is how many people are actually buying the solution that I'm offering.
Absolutely. And that goes to, you know, the way that you develop your audience, how you are attracting them. That goes down to copywriting, making sure that you are having actual conversations with your marketplace, because at the end of the day, people buy from those they know, like, and trust. If you are out there just telling what you do and not showing how you do it and not taking them into account, if you are treating social media as if it is a broadcast platform instead of a social platform, you're going to run into issues. And if you get sucked up into the thought that all of your followers have to be buyers, you know, that is also somewhere where you can get caught up. In typical day-to-day operations of a business, only about, 6% of those that you connect with are in the market, have the money, and need what you've got. The rest of them are in another stage of the sales process.
And that doesn't mean they can't move to the buying stage, but they're just not there yet. So you're kind of pre-selling and warming them up before they get to that part where they're ready to buy.
I just wanted to mention, sometimes the sales process is a very short one, but sometimes it's a long one. It really depends on what your product or service is. You can turn a cold prospect into a customer in some businesses immediately. And others, it's going to take months to nurture the relationship to the point where the person is ready to buy. It really, really depends on the business, your industry, and a whole lot of other factors.
And that's something that you'll need to think about when you're writing your business plan.
Absolutely. Especially if you are in the mindset that you're going to make a profit in the first month. That's not likely in a whole lot of businesses. Now, in my daycare, it was true that I started making an income in my first month. If you were to, say, start a cleaning service, you're going to make money in your first month. However, there's some other businesses that you'll get started where you won't start seeing an income for 30 or 60 days. And then in some industries, you might do the work and still be waiting another 15, 30, or 60 days to get paid on that work. And that's why having a plan is important, because you need to know when you can start expecting money to come in.
Absolutely. So we've talked about how the problem that you're addressing and the solution you're going to provide needs to go into your business plan. We've talked about who your customers are, kind of their buying cycle. What else needs to go into that one-page business plan?
You've got your unique value proposition, which is the unique thing that you offer in the marketplace, what makes you stand out, what makes people going to buy from you over anybody else that might be offering a similar product within your marketplace. And then you get into your channels. How are you going to communicate with your key people? And your key people are not just your customers, but also potentially your suppliers, your employees, and the other people that are helping you to build your business. So you got to think about the communication channels both internally and externally. Of course, if you're doing it all yourself, it's all internal, but we'll have some external communications, even if they are with service providers.
Yeah, like service providers or vendors. And then also, if you decide to start your own affiliate program, then you're going to have some affiliate partners that you work with as well that you'll need to communicate with.
Absolutely. So again, that is the channels of communication. Another part of your business plan is what we sort of talked about and touched on this, but it is those customer segments. you may have different types of customers within your business. Let's say you are a photographer. Now, you might be a specialist, or you might have a few different categories or segments of population that you serve. For example, there's maternity photographers who specialize in the maternity and newborn phases. You've got the people that specialize in the cake smashes. You've got people that do both of them and sort of go as a family photographer. So you want to narrow down those different customer segments, because in most cases, you're going to need to have a different approach to getting them to buy, because they'll have different triggers and different reasons for buying. And then you get into your cost structure and your revenue streams. So what are things going to cost you to bring to market? If you are a crafter, for example, your cost structure is going to include your supplies, your materials in order to make your product. And your revenue streams are the different things that you are using to bring in revenue. So that could be different products, different services, or it could be different ways of generating income for your business.
Absolutely. So the example that you mentioned was a crafter. So they might sell the crafts that they actually produce, but then they could also create courses where they're teaching people to create the same crafts and sell that. They could be affiliates of their suppliers. So, you know, if they're creating a craft that requires some sort of paint and they're an affiliate for the paint company, then they recommend these paints that people buy for the classes that they're teaching. So there's a lot of different sources of income around that one area.
Absolutely. And that is exactly why you can, you know, as you start to write out all these things, you'll get different ideas. So this can be used as an idea generator and a way to get clarity in what you want to do, what you want to move on from, and how you're going to develop your business.
Absolutely. And it sounds like what I'm kind of hearing between the lines is that a business plan, and especially this one-page business plan, isn't something that you just write out, you know, hand it to your banker or your accountant or, you know, your business coach and then never look at it again. It sounds like it's something that really needs to be a living document that you work with on a regular basis.
Exactly. Which is why a one-page business plan far outstrips, in my eyes, the standard business plan. Now, you will need a standard business plan for bankers, but I will tell you, if you do a one-page business plan, filling out that 25-page one is going to be a lot easier. And I actually will be having a course in how to turn your one-page business plan into one that you can take to the bank. But to get started, and for most businesses that are starting on a small scale, you don't need to start with the big one. Start with the small one and then grow it as your business grows, as your knowledge grows. You don't have to start so deep in that you scare yourself from doing it, because there is nothing worse than saying that you are going to do a business plan and then not doing it. Getting over that and actually getting something down on paper. It doesn't even have to be formal, but getting it out of your head and onto paper helps to make it real. It helps to make it something that you can share. I know one of the things that some small business women face is having to get their family on board with this idea. If they need extra time in their day and they need the support of their family and their spouse, having a business plan can really help make it real to the people around you.
Absolutely. So I'm seeing that we've got our problem solution, unique value proposition, our channels, our customer segments, cost structure and revenue streams. Is there anything else that we need to include in this one-page business plan?
There is. Did I mention key partners? That is one thing that you want to look at. The people that you will be dealing with in order to bring your product to market. So that would be the suppliers, as you were mentioning earlier, with whether you're doing affiliate or sponsorships or anything like that. Who are those key partners in your business? Because no business, even if you are a solo business, you still have partners, whether those are people within your network, whether it is the people that you go to for mentorship, whether it's, you know, a paid mastermind or a coach, or, you know, you've got your accountants, your bookkeepers, those support people are going to be key partners in your business. Again, merchandisers, suppliers, potentially places that you advertise, all of those things.
Absolutely. So if somebody is wanting to, you know, get their business started, and maybe, you know, it's spring and we're looking at summer coming up, and teachers are thinking, hey, I want to do something different. Maybe they're not wanting to go back to school next year, and so they're looking at getting a business started. What is one important takeaway that you want them to get before they take that leap?
There's nothing I want them to get over. I just want them to take the leap. I want them to get started, bloom where you're planted, start messy. Don't need to have an elaborate plan. And let's face it, if you're the kind of dreamer that has been dreaming of starting a business and doing your own thing, 90% of what you need to put on the page is already in your head. It's not new information for most people that are thinking of starting a business. By the time you've gotten to the point where you're there, you've got most of the information you need. There might be some things, some gaps, and you'll find those gaps by getting it on paper. You'll never find those gaps if it stays in your head.
Absolutely. It's kind of basically like we say, you know, as English teachers, when we're talking to our students about writing, in order to really know what you're thinking, you need to write it down. And so it's the same way with a business plan. If somebody is wanting to find out more about, or just needs somebody to kind of guide them through this process, what resources do you have available?
Well, I would love to send them on over to Paige the Puppet. That's at PaigeThePuppet.com. We've got a few episodes, existing and upcoming. It's all about creative, independent, small business owners. Our goal over there is to help the businesses to be sustainable and profitable without going crazy. So if you head on over there, I've actually got an episode that takes you through the writing of your one-page business plan, along with other resources. Yeah, it's getting really exciting over there.
Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us and helping us understand, you know, how we can get started with our businesses.
Absolutely. And remember that business plans are not just for those who are starting out. If you have an existing business and you are looking at growing or changing in any way, shape, or form, grab the lean canvas, write out your little business plan, and it will become so much clearer for you and so much more joyous. When you have a plan, it becomes a lot less drudgery and a lot more excitement.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, where you learn how to be your own boss. Have questions about starting, growing, or scaling your business? You can ask us anything. Just fill out the form at www.rethinkyourlifestyle.com/askmeanything, and Michelle will answer your burning entrepreneurial questions in an upcoming episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.